This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're talking about a deadly relationship sin with Dr. Jennifer Jill Schwerzer.
Plus, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional. And the Let's Pray team will be here with us to pray. Come along with us. Good morning, friends, and thank you for waking up with hope.
Spring is officially 13 days away. Are you seeing any signs of spring in your part of the country yet? Daffodils, tulips, crocuses. Flowers are so beautiful, and I know that ours are starting to pop up. I just love it.
Yes, you know, spring is such a nice time of the year because it reminds us that there's always hope. And even though we're in the middle of winter and everything seems so dead, we know that spring is coming and joy is just around the corner.
Amen. It's like the Bible verse in Psalm 30 verse 5 that says, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning."
Amen. You know, hope is truly near, friends, and we want to share the lovely hope we have in Jesus with you this morning. So let's begin by taking a look back at what happened on this day in history.
On March 7, 1862, Union forces under General Samuel Curtis clashed with the army of General Earl Van Dorn at the Battle of Pea Ridge, also called the Battle of Elkhorn Tavern in northwest Arkansas. The following day, the battle ended in defeat for the Confederates. It was because Curtis received word of the approaching Confederates and later anticipated Van Dorn's move in sending part of his army on a march around the Yankees that he was able to turn his men to attack and gain the victory.
You know, as Christians, we have an advantage over the enemy as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "When I forgive whatever needs to be forgiven, I do so with Christ's authority for your benefit, so that Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes." You know, forgiveness is a crucial element of gaining the victory, because as we forgive others, we too are forgiven, for we show the love of Christ and his grace working in our lives. You know, friend, is there anyone that you need to forgive today? Don't let bitterness and lack of forgiveness stand in the way of you gaining the victory. Ask God to help you find forgiveness. And remember, as you forgive others, he promises to forgive you of all your sins.
Amen. Have you ever been misinterpreted? You say something and someone takes it in a completely different direction. Maybe you've been on the opposite end of that equation as well, and you've misinterpreted someone else. I know we've all done both. Misinterpretation can often lead to arguments and disputes among friends and loved ones. That's why Dr. Jennifer Jill Schwerzer has classed it as a deadly relationship sin. She joins us now to tell us more.
A man said to his wife, "You look beautiful in blue." She said, "Oh, you think I look ugly in red." He said, "I love your curves." She said, "You think I'm fat." He said, "They say the gentlemen prefer blondes, but I love your long dark hair." She said, "How often do you think about blondes?" He said, "You sing like a bird." She said, "You mean a crow?" He kept trying to communicate compliments to his wife, and she kept misinterpreting him. And finally, he stopped trying. A group of researchers at the University of Denver put together a program called CPREP. And in the program, they identify four traits that present in almost all failed relationships. Number two are strong predictors of divorce. Number three are often learned in the home of origin. And number four tend to neutralize all the good that may exist in that relationship. Those four traits are escalation, invalidation, negative interpretation, and withdrawal. We're going to focus now on negative interpretation or misinterpretation. The next deadly relationship sin is misinterpretation. Negative interpretation is associated with major depressive disorder and anxiety. clinicians like myself recognize that it's the way we think about situations that ultimately determines how we feel about situations. To some degree, the circumstances that we encounter in life are kind of neutral and up to us to interpret. Let me give you an example. Someone comes into the school cafeteria and they see a group of friends. As soon as they come into the cafeteria, the friends stop talking. That individual can interpret that situation in one of three ways. They can interpret it positively. Well, they stop because they're about to ask me to join the conversation. They can interpret it negatively. Well, they were talking about me. Or they can interpret it neutrally. They finished their conversation. That's why they stopped. What we find is that certain individuals have what we might call a negative bias. They tend to see negativity where no negativity exists. Those people that are negatively biased tend to misinterpret things that other people say, and often to an extreme degree. And then they experience emotional disturbance proportionate to if that was actually true. This can be extremely frustrating for the person being misinterpreted, and it can actually drive that person away to where they just throw their hands up in despair. The replacement for misinterpretation is what I call checking in. Checking in involves seeing if the way you're interpreting that person is actually correct, and that involves active listening that we've talked about in other segments. Active listening is tuning into that person and making sure that you're picking up what they're putting down. One technique that I use in counseling to help people learn active listening in a very simple, kind of concise way is using the acronym EAR. Empathy equals ask and reflect. Good empathic active listening involves two basic activities: asking open-ended questions of that person and giving them an opportunity to express themselves, how they really feel, creating a safe environment in which they can tell the truth about themselves and their feelings, and then also reflecting back to them what you heard them say. So if that individual says, "I love you in blue," you might say, "Well, it seems like you really like it when I wear blue. Is that right?" And you've interpreted that person correctly. However, if you're inclined to interpret them negatively, you might say, "Are you saying that I don't look good in other colors?" And that person would have an opportunity then to correct that misconception. No, I'm not saying that at all. I love you in all colors. I just especially like you in blue because it brings out the blue of your eyes, and I love your eyes. It just really pays to check in. So I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you to ask at least three people, if you tend to interpret negatively, if you tend to put a negative skew on the things that they say to you, and if more than one of them says you do, you got some work to do in learning how to interpret things correctly. Learn how to check in, how to make sure that you're interpreting them the way they want to be interpreted, and use the EAR acronym to make sure that you're listening well.
When we return, we will be praying with the Let's Pray team. And later, Elizabeth Talbot joins us to share a devotional thought.
Don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope and subscribe to keep up with each one of our episodes.
That's right. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We're being blessed today on Wake Up with Hope.
It's now time for one of our most favorite parts of the program, prayer.
You know, prayer is so important that Jesus gave it as a recipe against sin. He said, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation," in Matthew 26, verse 41. And this morning, we invite you to take special hold of the power of prayer as we join the Let's Pray team.
Hello, family. It is time to pray again. My name is Season. I am one of two hosts for Hope Channel's Let's Pray, and we're coming to you so that we can pray for wisdom and guidance. Do you know God says that if we ask for it, He'll give it freely? So that is what we're going to be talking about today. We do need wisdom and guidance to navigate the world and the things that are going on around us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for another opportunity to pray with this community, Lord. You didn't have to give us prayer, conversation with you. You didn't have to give us access to you, Father, but you did. What an incredible gift. And Father, I want to thank you for Psalm 32:8 that says you will instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go, that you'll counsel us with your loving eye, Father, not just your eye, but your loving eye upon us, Lord. There's so many circumstances and so many things that we are navigating individually and corporately as the body of Christ, Heavenly Father. And we do acknowledge our need of you, of your wisdom, of your perspective. I thank you that your word says that you've given us the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Remind us, Heavenly Father. And Lord, I'm thankful that I don't have to know everything because you do. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. You're the one who brings things to pass. You're the one with dominion and authority who establishes his kingdom, Heavenly Father. So Lord, thank you for being the one that we need, especially when we cannot seem to see a way out. Lord, Jeremiah 33:3 says that if we call to you, you will answer us and that you'll tell us great and unsearchable things that we did not know. Thank you, Father, for James 1:5 that says if any of us lacks wisdom, that we should ask you and you give generously to all without finding fault. You're not pointing your finger at us saying you're supposed to know this already. You're gentle and you're kind and you're generous, Father. Because your word says that without finding fault, it will be given to us. And we praise you for that, Father. And Lord, I want to take one more moment to thank you for your word in Isaiah 58:11, that you will guide us always, that you will satisfy our needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen our frame, that we will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail, Father. When we give ourselves on behalf of others, when we put your kingdom first, Jesus, this is what we can expect, Lord. Thank you for the wisdom to walk in your ways, Lord. Thank you, Father, that Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us, Lord, and that you will never leave us or forsake us, Father. That even when we don't see wisdom in our lives as of yet, Lord, we believe that your word is the truth and we walk by faith, not by sight. I pray for your encouragement today for this community, Heavenly Father. I pray for your mercy and your grace over our mistakes or choices that we might have made that don't exemplify your wisdom, Heavenly Father. I thank you that you already knew we were going to do that and that you are continuing to make a way for us, Lord. Please be with us for the rest of our time together today, Heavenly Father. Thank you for loving us and for guiding us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen, amen. I pray that the Word of God continues to be a blessing to you. Don't forget that it is the truth, whether we see it or not in our lives. It does not change that the word is the truth according to John 17:17, and he is sanctifying us by it. God bless you. God bless you. Bye.
Amen.
We have a special devotional message now from Jesus 101 coming up right after this short break.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be bringing it to us this morning.
Hello, everyone. Today we continue with our series on the Gospel of Luke, and our title is You Are Accepted. Perhaps you remember when you were a little kid that we used to create this paper people chains. I did many of them when I was a little girl. And here I'm going to make one for you that I was starting before we started the program. It was so good to do these and then put them together and say, hey, they all like each other and they are holding hands and they are living in peace. I mean, we all as kids used to get you know, such a kick out of this. And not just little girls, we used to make little boys too. And here I'm going to make a little boy for you. And it was so awesome to think that when we grew up, everybody was going to get along, that we were all going to like each other. Here I have some boys for you. And sometimes we said, even girls and boys can get along. Even black and white can get along. Even old and young can get along. Everybody can get along. And then we grew up and we found out that society didn't really work like that. There is a very known social psychologist called Henry Teifel. He's known for his work on the cognitive side of prejudice. And he found out that the us versus them is an actual verifiable human condition. That we all create little groups for any reason, even for the color of our eyes or our taste in art, that we say, no, it's us versus them. Of course, the color of the skin, the accent, many other things can obviously offer us opportunities to do the us versus them mentality. The Gospel of Luke has a message that God accepts us all and that he wants us all. And that, you know, Luke does something really interesting. He intercalates stories of men and women, you know, men and women. And he does Jews and Gentiles and those who were high status versus those who were low status. Because Jesus came to save all who would accept him. And so we're going to study how the gospel, the good news of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, gives dignity and freedom to everyone, even those that were considered outcasts and were not accepted in that society, and that the least, the last, and the lost were accepted by Christ. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 4. It's a very interesting story. It happens in Nazareth, and Nazareth was the town where Jesus grew up. And it didn't have a very good reputation. You know, we can see that in John 1 when Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was a little town, and Jesus grew up there. And now, as a grown-up man, and now he was becoming famous, he came back to Nazareth, and he went to the synagogue where he had been many, many times as a child. You know, I had the opportunity to visit Nazareth, and they did a whole village of the way it would have looked at the time of Jesus. If you ever get to go to Nazareth, make sure you go to that village. It's very interesting, different parts of the village. And of course, they have the synagogue, and I'm going to show you a photo of me inside the synagogue that they created for Nazareth. And I'm holding the scroll right there in the little pulpit they have. But Jesus went to Nazareth, and they gave him a scroll to read. And it was the scroll of Isaiah. And Luke chapter 4, verse 17, says that the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. And look what he found, verses 18 and 19 of Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. It's interesting because these two verses come from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. And they're beautiful verses, how the Messiah would come for the oppressed and to set the oppressed free and to heal the brokenhearted. Those were all people that were on the margins, supposedly, of society, right? But what is interesting here is that when he sits down, it's not because he's done. They used to stand up to read and sit down to teach. So when Jesus sits down, it says that all the eyes are on him because they're waiting for a teaching from Jesus. Don't forget, he is from Nazareth. And so people want to see what he's going to tell them. And he says to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And then he starts speaking, teaching them about himself and his mission. Verse 22, and all were speaking well of him and wondering of the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Everybody's speaking well of him because the content of his teaching is words of grace. And they're all liking this. And they're saying, hey, he finally is here. Maybe this is really the Messiah. He has come for us. But then the teaching continued. And if you continue reading, he starts talking about how God chose a widow outside of Israel from the land of Sidon. And then how there were many lepers in Israel and God chose Naaman the Syrian from the land of Syria. And that's when things got really bad. Because until then, they were speaking well of Jesus. They were speaking well of him because he was talking words of grace. But when he started to show that the scope of his grace was so much bigger than just the people of Israel, they were enraged. So let me read it to you. Verse 25. I say to you, in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months when a great famine came over the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And they were like, what? To Sidon? And then he said the same thing about a leper named Naaman from Syria. And that's when the Bible says they got so enraged that they tried to throw him from the cliff. And there's a big cliff there in Nazareth. And it didn't matter that they were in a church service. It was like, no, it's us versus them. And they should not get this favor of God to be accepted this way. Of course, Jesus was introducing to them the scope of his grace. And they were enraged. He was a God too big for their small minds. Today, God reminds you that he does have this in mind, that his kingdom is accepts all tribes and people and nations and colors, that you personally are accepted. Perhaps other people have not accepted you. Perhaps you have been marginalized. Jesus came to tear down those walls. Salvation is for all who will accept it, and that includes you. He came to save all. Every kindred, every color, everyone. So if you have lived with the pain of not being accepted because of who you are, may you know today that God accepts you. You are accepted to the point that he saved everyone who will accept him.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
And friends, thank you for spending this time with us this morning. If you would like to learn more about us or share with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning. We will have a musical composition from Hope Harmony's Sivasa Laupati, and John Bradshaw will have the devotional thought for us. Plus, our healthy friends from Loma Linda will be back with a special health feature. You are sure to be blessed, so don't miss it. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about God's amazing plan, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study for your very own free Bible study guides. And check out the website. We are sure you'll find something there for you as well. And before we go, we have a Bible promise. It says, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. That's found in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13.
Amen. He wants to take hold of your hand today, friend. Hold out your hand and cling to his. Do not fear. He promises to help you.
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, today, as we begin this day, we look up towards heaven. By faith, we see you. And we lift up our hand and we take hold of your hand. And today, Lord, we choose not to let go. And we know that you're not going to let go of our hand. So by faith, Lord, we abide in you today. Abide in us and fill us with hope. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.